Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Innovation Edge: How Large Companies Lose It and How to Get It Back by Merle Symes is a business and management book focused on why established corporations often become less innovative as they grow and what leaders can do to reverse that decline. Drawing on Symes' long executive career, the book argues that maturity can produce bureaucracy, risk aversion, and short-term thinking, even in firms with strong market positions. Its purpose is not to offer a simple motivational message, but to provide a practical framework for rebuilding an organization's ability to innovate. The book is aimed at senior leaders, managers, and strategy teams inside large companies that need to balance operational discipline with the pursuit of new ideas. Rather than treating innovation as a vague cultural aspiration, Symes presents it as an organizational capability that can be managed through structure, experimentation, and better decision-making around risk. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the SCRV paradox explains why success can weaken innovation. A central idea in the book is that companies do not usually stop innovating because they lack talent or resources. They often lose their edge because the very systems that help them grow begin to discourage experimentation. Symes describes this as the S-curve paradox during early growth. Organizations are flexible and exploratory, but as they mature, they accumulate process layers, hierarchy, and caution. That creates a predictable pattern in which past success becomes a barrier to future adaptation. The point is not merely that large firms are slow, but that their incentives shift toward protecting what already works. This matters because innovation is usually disruptive to existing routines, and mature organizations often prioritize stability over uncertainty. Symes uses this diagnosis to challenge the common assumption that innovation failures are isolated mistakes. Instead, he treats them as structural outcomes of corporate maturity, which means the solution has to be organizational, not just individual. Secondly, active risk management reframes innovation as a series of controlled bets, rather than treating innovation as one large leap into the unknown. Symes argues for active risk management. This framework treats risk as something to be studied, divided, and managed through smaller decisions. The practical logic is important if an organization tries to launch a major new idea all at once. The uncertainty can be overwhelming, and failure becomes harder to interpret. By contrast, smaller tests can reveal what is working, what is unclear, and where the biggest hazards lie. This makes innovation more disciplined without making it timid. Symes is not arguing for caution in the usual sense. He is arguing for intelligent exposure to risk so that leaders can learn before committing fully. In a corporate environment, this approach is especially relevant because large companies often have more to lose from a single failure than startups do. Active risk management gives them a way to act boldly while still preserving control, making innovation compatible with accountability rather than opposed to it. Thirdly, the proof point process uses intelligent failure to reduce uncertainty. The book emphasizes a methodical approach to testing ideas through what Symes calls the proof point process. The core idea is that organizations should not wait until a project is fully developed before confronting uncertainty. Instead, they should design proof points that reveal whether a concept has real promise or hidden weaknesses. This shifts the role of failure from something to avoid into something to use productively. Intelligent failure, in this context, does not mean careless mistakes. It means learning quickly through structured experimentation. That distinction is crucial because many large companies say they support innovation while still punishing visible failure. Symes challenges that contradiction by arguing that leaders must build systems that surface bad assumptions early. The process is valuable because it reduces the cost of being wrong and improves the quality of being right. It also encourages organizations to evaluate ideas on evidence rather than hierarchy, which can help counteract internal politics and overconfidence in established methods. Fourthly, cultural barriers matter because innovation depends on trust, curiosity, and coordination, beyond process. The book argues that innovation fails when the organizational culture rewards compliance more than inquiry. Symes repeatedly points to the importance of leadership that coordinates rather than commands. In his view, managers who try to control every variable suppress the very initiative they hope to encourage. Innovation requires room for judgment, cross-functional cooperation, and a willingness to ask uncomfortable questions. That is why the book places so much emphasis on trust and collective wisdom. These are not soft add-ons. They are operational conditions for discovery. A culture shaped by short-term targets, box checking, and rigid approval systems will usually generate safe incrementalism, not strategic innovation. Symes suggests that leaders need to rethink how they structure work and how they signal what matters. If people believe only short-term results are rewarded, they will avoid longer-term bets. If they believe thoughtful experimentation is respected, they are more likely to contribute ideas and challenge assumptions. The book therefore connects culture directly to performance rather than treating it as a separate human resources issue. Lastly, the book is a practical guide for leaders who need organizational redesign, not inspiration alone. The innovation edge stands out because it is written for executives who want a usable framework, not just a compelling story about creativity. Its audience is large, established organizations that need to recover innovative capacity while still meeting performance demands. That makes the book different from many business titles that stay at the level of general advice or motivational language. SIMES focuses on how to change systems, incentives, and decision processes so innovation becomes more likely across the enterprise. This gives the book a more operational character than many books in the genre. Readers looking for easy slogans may find it demanding, but readers responsible for real organizational change are likely to value its emphasis on implementation. Its practical contribution is that it links innovation to governance, risk, and structure, showing that renewal is not only about ideas, but about how a company is built. In that sense, the book is best understood as a guide to redesigning large organizations for adaptability. In conclusion, The Innovation Edge should be read by senior executives, strategy leaders, innovation managers, and consultants working with mature companies that have become slower, more cautious, or less inventive over time. It is especially useful for readers who need a serious framework for changing how an organization evaluates risk, allocates attention, and turns ideas into tested initiatives. The book offers practical value because it does not stop at diagnosing corporate stagnation. It explains how to build processes that surface uncertainty early, encourage intelligent failure, and create a more innovation-friendly culture without abandoning discipline. Compared with many books on innovation, it is more structured and less inspirational, which is precisely what makes it distinctive. Rather than promising creativity through attitude alone, it treats innovation as something that can be designed into the organization through better leadership and better systems. That makes the book particularly relevant for large firms facing disruption, declining agility, or internal inertia. Its main strength is that it links strategic renewal to operational detail, giving readers a clearer picture of how innovation can be restored in companies that already have scale, resources, and market history, but need a new way forward. If you would like to support Merle Symes, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.